The 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
A very good morning to you all tuned in here to the 9 till noon show. It's Michaela Clark in for Greg Hughes this morning, and welcome along to everybody who's watching our live stream as well. You can do so by logging on to our website, highlandradio.com, and also it is available on all our social media platforms. We are here until 12 noon and we've lots to come. To get in touch, as usual, you can give us a call on 074 91 25000. You can text or WhatsApp at 086 60 25000, or email comments at highlandradio.com. To start, though, we're going to have a look at the papers today, starting with the Irish Daily Star. And the headline there is Fire and Fury, which is which perfectly sums up what happened outside the City West Hotel in Sagard last night. So a mob attacked Gardaí outside the City West Asylum Centre last night as fear and anger spread after a man appeared in court charged with sexually assaulting a 10-year-old girl. Taoiseach Micheál Martin told the Dáil the state failed in its duty to the child, who was in the care of Tusla when she absconded at the weekend. Peaceful protesters gathered near the scene of the alleged incident in the South Dublin village of Sagard before violence flared and a Garda van was set ablaze and fireworks shot at riot Gardaí. I'm sure a lot of you have seen these videos, and it was just chaos. That headline's perfect, Fire and Fury. Obviously, this stems from an alleged attack on a young child, and people want to protect their children, and people are rightfully angry at this, and you know, they want action taken and, you know, an end put to these sort of attacks. But I just think that there could be a different way that this could be communicated. You know, you could see the Gardaí, there didn't seem to be, you know, there was one line of them, they were in the riot gear, but you know, I could only imagine if all them protesters made their way forward, you know, where would the Gardaí be there? Would there be have been enough resources to hold them back? But the danger that it posed to those involved in the protest as well, you know, there was videos of fireworks being fired at Gardaí, and I could see people at the front and they were videoing on their phones, and, you know, they could have easily been hit by the firework. A lot more could have been seriously injured. One Garda has been injured, and there were six people arrested. A Garda van was set on fire. But it just begs to question as well the motive behind the majority of people here, or more majority of people that did attend the protest. You know, I saw some videos, reporters were speaking to locals who lived there, and they were saying, you know, they were given their experience and, you know, they just wanted to come out and show support as well. But surely there were other people there that, you know, used it just as an excuse to engage in riotous behaviour. But yeah, obviously it is a huge conversation that has been ongoing for some time, and, you know, something does need to be done to address the concerns of those who, you know, rightfully or wrongfully organise the protest with the proper intent. But yeah, it's just, you know, is this the right way to go about it? Is this going to see the government deliver change? But hopefully there's no more, you know, violent scenes like this and no more injuries caused to anybody. But it's still, you know, I understand as well the serious concerns among people, and that does need to be addressed as well. Moving to the Irish Daily Star, Humphreys accuses Galway TD of hypocrisy. So Heather Humphreys last night accused Catherine Connolly of hypocrisy for representing banks against ordinary homeowners. Ms Connolly claimed she was not able to talk about individual cases because of client confidentiality, a claim rejected by Ms Humphreys. Ms Humphreys repeatedly pushed her on whether she worked on repossession cases and accused her of hypocrisy in criticising banks in the Dáil and at council level. During last night's final presidential debate on RTE's primetime, Ms Connolly said the allegation was extraordinary, adding that the courts made decisions based on government policy, which allowed them to repossess. Ms Humphreys then accused her of talking out of both sides of her mouth. I think Catherine Connolly has, you know, confirmed that she can't disclose exactly the detail of who she represented, etc. But people have come out in support of her and said that, you know, that was her job. She wasn't picking and choosing whose home was going to be repossessed. Did you watch the debate last night? I just feel that there's so little interest in this presidential election, and I suppose it follows, you know, we had the local and general election last year, and there was such you know, it was great. It was an exciting time for everybody. Did you watch the presidential debate in RT Primetime last night? What did you think? Is there any front runner for you? I know Catherine Connolly's leading in the polls. Did either candidate swing you? Did they change? You know, maybe you were supporting Catherine Connolly. Maybe you've now changed to Heather Humphreys. Let us know by getting in touch. And as well, you know, is there, do you feel that there is a momentum? Are you interested in this presidential election? We do have a debate coming up very, very shortly. We have two students from the ATU's Law Society, so they'll be arguing why they're standing behind one candidate over the other. So make sure to stay tuned for that. The Irish Times now. Advancements in artificial intelligence bring significant ethical, legal, regulatory and professional challenges for doctors, the sector's regulatory body has said. AI is increasingly being used across the health system, particularly for medical imaging and diagnostics, with the Mater Hospital in Dublin earlier this year launching a new centre for AI and digital health. Yesterday, the Medical Council published a position paper stating AI offers the potential to improve patient outcomes, streamline processes and support evidence-based care. However, the regulator said that while the technology can assist with diagnostics and treatment recommendations, doctors must have confidence in the standard of the tool they are utilising. I do think AI has great potential, but I do think it's going to be a long time before, in certain circumstances, it's implemented properly. I don't know if I would have the full confidence now to, you know, in AI being used in the healthcare, you know, in terms of, I suppose, reading x-rays and then recommending further treatment. But it has the potential if it's used properly. I've seen so many examples of if the model is trained, you know, by you're giving it the information that you want it to know, like you're doing the work for it in a way, but it just can be your assistant later down the line when it's fully trained. You know, it can help you then and I suppose make things quicker in terms of, say, reading these x-rays, but you would have to train it so much. And I suppose maybe, you know, the healthcare sector needs to be more transparent in how they've trained it and what exactly it's being used for. I don't know if I would, you know, fully trust if I know I've had an x-ray and an AI model has read it and, you know, recommended the next steps, because I would use AI maybe more as a search engine as opposed to other platforms now, and I maybe will know the general thing that I'm searching, but I just want, you know, maybe it confirmed and the information that it's happened more recently as opposed to when I started using it, but it's spitting out, you know, stuff that's completely off, no relevance to what I am searching. So that is a bit concerning. I thought that the models would have been improving a lot more rather than digressing. The Sun now. Abandon events if wind risk. You will have heard Donna Marie reference this in our news bulletin. So public events should be cancelled in areas under orange wind warnings, according to a review published after Storm Éowyn hit in January. Éowyn was one of the most destructive storms in Ireland, with gusts of up to 184 kilometres per hour. Yesterday, the National Directorate of Fire and Emergency Management published a series of recommendations in its review of the storm. On public events, the report states it is recommended that event organisers should cancel events in areas where an orange wind warning threshold is forecast. Event sites and funfairs with temporary structures of all kinds may need to be considered for closure at a lower threshold, which should be set by the event organiser. Particularly funfairs, you know, we've all seen how strong those winds can be under an orange weather warning, and yeah, sometimes it could just be too late, especially funfairs, and you know, people are up on a height and elevated in the air that yeah, I do agree with that. And Councillor Thomas Sean Devine of the 100% Redress Party, he recently had a motion before the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District, and he argued in relation to defective block homeowners that, you know, rather than waiting for the red weather warning to be issued, that processes should be put in place at orange level to ensure that homeowners are housed safely. Because we've seen recently during Storm Amy how quickly that was upgraded from orange to red. I think it was a 2-hour warning that, or 2-hour notice that was given before the warning came in to place. And, you know, that's not enough for some people. The Irish Independent now, owners of electric vehicles in Ireland are paying hundreds of euro more to charge their cars at home than drivers across Europe. The gap between Irish EV charging prices and those in Spain works out at almost 400 euro a year for people who top up their cars during the day, according to research by Dundee Cars. Lower night rates for those with smart meters were not factored into the analysis. More than 50% of drivers in Ireland charge at night. The gap was revealed after a recent report from the International Energy Agency found energy retail prices in Ireland are three times higher than wholesale prices, one of the biggest gaps in the world. So not only are electric vehicle drivers, you know, they can't charge in certain places, they might arrive to an EV charging point and it's not working. There's simply not enough charging points across the country. But the expense now, paying 400 euro more than other parts of Europe. But also that reflects the high electricity prices we have here. So obviously we're all experiencing a huge cost compared to other parts of Europe. The Irish Daily Mirror. Man enters guilty plea and threat to kill Harris and family case. A man has pleaded guilty to making an online threat to kill or cause serious harm to Taoiseach Simon Harris and his family. Yesterday, Patrick Grealish, aged 48, from County Galway, pleaded guilty to making the threats to Mr. Harris and his family in August of last year. Appearing before a sitting of the District Court in Connemara, Mr. Grealish was remanded on continuing bail and is due to appear in court again in December. A court previously heard that the accused was arrested and charged at a Garda station in the Northwest region with making a threat to Mr. Harris, intending for him to believe it would be carried out to kill or cause him and his family serious harm. We've talked about this before, how politicians are obviously in public office and, you know, they're exposed to the public and members of the public feel that they can attack them in a certain way. But it's very different then when such threats are issued to anybody, never mind someone who has a young family as well. And I can only imagine the serious concern that would have caused, given that he does have young children. Finally for now, the Finn Valley Voice. Rafo will fall silent this morning as Peter O'Donnell, one of Finn Valley's best known as most loved residents, is laid to rest. Late of Dumont's Rafo, Peter, aged 75, passed away peacefully following a short illness surrounded by his family in the early hours of Sunday morning. Known as Mr. Boxing, he had an unmatched passion for and an encyclopedic knowledge of the sport. So yeah, definitely a sad day for the sporting world here in Donegal. As I mentioned, coming up now shortly, we'll be talking to two students from the ATU's Law Society about Friday's presidential debates.
Highland Radio Time Checks brought to you by Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid. Airgrid, powering up communities, powering up Ireland. The time is...
So the time is now 19 minutes past nine. Now, everybody will know that in 2 days' time, we will have a chance to take to the polls to elect the next president of Ireland. A debate is taking place in the ATU now tomorrow evening. I'm joined in studio by Aoife Gethings, former co-president of the Law Society, Jimmy Brome, who is the president of the Debate Society at ATU, and Sebastian Castley, member of the Debate and Law Society as well. So I'll start with yourself, Aoife. What is happening now in the coming days, or tomorrow?
Tomorrow evening at 5:30, students, faculty and the public are going to attend a student-led debate where we have one side for Heather Humphreys, we have another side for Catherine Connolly. They'll come together and discuss each of their point of view and then what matters to them, why they're voting a certain way, and basically try and persuade each other. There will be awards on the night, there is public questions, and it will be judged as well.
Yeah, and this is something that takes place every election and it's very well attended, isn't it?
It was. So some of your listeners may remember last year, myself and a few of my other representatives came in and we discussed highly our presidential election. That was it. We had a massive turnout. We filled a lecture hall of over 120 people regarding the American Trump debate and what students felt and what issues were affecting them and shared their opinions on it. We then also held one for the general election for Dublin. And again, it's students' voices, what matters to students. And it's really great for other people to get an insight mm-hmm. as to what is bugging young people these days? What do they feel? So we just like to provide them with a platform to discuss and voice their concerns.
And I suppose sometimes I think a lot of young people aren't interested in the election, but do you find that they really are?
Well, I think over the last couple of weeks, young people have, well, over the last number of months, I believe it started when the general election came about, students that were approaching us as a committee and within the college were looking to get local representatives mm-hmm. in, like their TDs and their councillors, to express what it was that was bothering them. I know at 12 o'clock today, we have a student walkout on the ATU, which was organised, well, facilitated by our SU president, Joseph Sweeney. Mm-hmm. And this is showing that students are no longer taking things lying down. They're taking an active approach. And I notice, and I think as a committee, we notice as well, that students are getting involved. They're not being silenced anymore because decisions that have been made by older generations and past governments and past representatives are affecting us more than ever. It's students that are struggling to get mortgages and housing crises and cost of living and student fees. The only way they can change that is by voicing them.
Yeah, and it's great that, you know, I think back to myself when I was, say, a student, I never would have thought about getting a mortgage. You know, I just kind of lived as I went along. But it's great that young people now are thinking about that and making, hopefully, trying to make the difference by voting in who they believe is the best.
I think so. And I think looking back on, well, the polls that we ran in college and obviously the local polls, the younger people are coming out more. And I believe it's great to see. I also believe that because a lot of, well, my own age, I know an awful lot of people that have immigrated, the likes of Australia and America. So their votes are going to be down. But I believe mm-hmm. everybody that is here should exercise their vote. Whether you vote for Humphreys, whether you vote for Connolly, people died in 1916
to get this vote.
And it really disheartens me to see women commenting things like spoil your vote. Mm-hmm. When in 1923, women got the right to exercise their vote. We got our voice. So why should we spoil it? Get out and use it, no matter who you vote for, whether you do it anonymously, whether you voice who you're voting for. Just get out. It's your chance.
There's never going to be change if people continue to spoil their votes. I know some people be so disgruntled by the system, but, you know, there's going to be no change unless we, you know, put somebody there.
You have to. And I believe that people are spoiling their votes because, you know, they didn't elect them. Well, actually, you did. They had council elections. You nominated and you voted for your local councillors. So the councillors voted for who they backed for the presidential election. The same as for the TDs. They were all elected. It's okay to sit behind a phone screen and comment on Facebook, hashtag spoil your vote, or, you know, I'm not voting for this, or I'm going to write this on my ballot sheet. What good is that going to do? If you want change and you want to see somebody else in the presidential seat or in the Oros, go out and vote. Mm-hmm. You could be a part of that 1 or 2% that will change the way the election swings.
Yeah,
now, whether it swings for Humphreys or swings for Connolly's, none of us are going to know until Saturday, Sunday, possibly Monday.
Yeah.
Still, use your vote for something, because if you don't, you'd be better off just staying in bed and not going to the polling station at all.
And I find that it's those people that call for spoiling votes that, you know, they obviously won't go out and vote themselves, and they'll give off then so much. But, you know, you can't do that because you're not making the conscious decision to elect somebody.
Nope.
But anyway, back to Friday. So we'll start with yourself, Jamie. What do you believe that a president should possess?
Well, number one, they should be clear. And I feel that that is what Connolly has demonstrated, especially in the debate yesterday. I believe she was the clearest of the two candidates. But I'm also going to go on to that we need a Gaeligor in the Aras. It represents people who fought for our right to speak Irish and to be allowed to speak Irish, and for someone to go in. And number one, let's go back. Heather Humphrey has very clearly just denied. She says, oh, when I was Minister for the Gaeltacht, the reason I didn't learn Irish was because it wasn't a priority because I had Brexit and stuff. So that community is not a priority for her.
But she did say that if elected, she would then learn the language.
But she said that when she was made Minister for the Gaeltacht. How are we supposed to trust her word? Let's go back to, and when she doesn't lie directly, she lies through omission. She said, But let's put her to the side and go back to Connolly. Connolly has even demonstrated, even through this barrister controversy, which I don't think is a controversy, she was just doing her job, demonstrated that she understands the separation of powers. She put her personal beliefs aside when she was a barrister and represented all candidates. Like, when she goes into the Ross, she'll put aside her personal biases and represent all members of Irish society. And I think honesty and integrity is what the Irish population want. And they want someone who'll call the government out. And that is what the president is. It's supposed to be a safeguard against the legislative going wild.
And Sebastian, you are in favour of Heather Humphreys. Yes. How do you feel that she would best represent Ireland if elected president?
I think that Connolly is potentially a bit too critical of the EU. Ireland relies on the EU. True, I agree that the criticisms are valid, you know, with Gaza, absolutely horrible with what's going on over there. However, the criticism of Connolly with the honesty and the whole controversy of the barrister thing shows sort of a double standard, given that she said was calling banks the devil, evil, this, that and the other, and yet she practiced as a barrister working for them.
But then she would argue that, you know, that was her job. She didn't make the exact decision, you know, who was going to lose their home.
Just because it's your job doesn't make it right. You can acknowledge it, say, yes, I did this. Yeah, not entirely the case. What the problem is that she's saying that the bank's the devil, yet worked for them, and yet says she's an honest person, which... it shows a sort of a double standard, if that makes sense.
I suppose I should ask as well, do you think, Jamie, that the right candidates were put forward? Do you think that there was a wide enough field?
Well, I actually do believe. I believe that at least Connolly had the support of a large backing within it all. And what is the president but a representative for the political climate of Ireland? I know that some people were very disheartened when some candidates didn't get nominated. But if you can't get the backing within a small percent of the government, how are you going to be able to work with that, with the whole government?
Going forward then.
Going forward, yes. But I just want to respond to his thing about the EU. Like, we need a president who'll speak for Ireland. And sometimes that won't be in line with the EU's mandates. But that is a good thing. You don't want, and I understand you have to placate to the EU slight bit, but we need a candidate who'll speak their truth and will represent Ireland best. And it's the similar thing to Heather Humphrey. She, and I know she said yesterday that there probably are things that she's called the EU out on, but you need someone who'll say it for what it is. Europe is becoming very militarised. Maybe Ireland, as a neutral country, should take our chance and represent the views of the probably a large proportion of Irish society on the military. But Heather Humphreys, I feel, will be just putting forward whatever the government's thinking. And I know, I'm not doubting she'll take the promise to stay as a neutral party, but I will say...
But then, is she really neutral? You know, she has the backing of Sinn Féin and she has the backing of... a lot of the opposition. Can she still say that she is neutral?
I believe she can. I believe she's demonstrated that she's went against some votes that Sinn Féin have put forward. And now I haven't looked into it, but I presume she's went against some votes people for profit have put forward. And that, and people always say that the opposition represents a large amount of Ireland. So why is it so strange that a politician who's the president would represent that small fringe of Ireland? But she has spoken out that she'll speak for everyone. Like, she spoke about how she'll invite loads of different parties into the Aras when she gets her chance. First the carers, and then I can't remember who she said after that, but she did say. So I think you need someone who'll be clear and be in Ireland's corner and will protect her neutrality. Heather Humphreys has on multiple occasions brought up putting Irish troops in Ukraine.
But then I suppose, Sebastian, Heather Humphreys then has said she will be a voice as well for everybody. How do you respond to what Jamie was arguing there?
I do agree that Europe becoming more militaristic. It's potentially a necessary precaution given the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Countries have the right to defend themselves. That's just a right every country has. The thing is, Ireland, by nature and by law, is a neutral country. Yet in its actions, it's not. It openly supports certain countries. The thing is, neutral countries shouldn't do that. They should have no support. Like, take Switzerland, for instance. They've never done anything that went against their neutrality. They've always... Like, they have a military, but they use it solely to defend themselves. The increase in militarization is... The increase in militarization is a potential precaution. It's...
But I suppose aligning with Europe, you know, we are part of Europe, so that, you know, we do have to be involved in it. You know, Jimmy was arguing there about that, but that is a huge part of, you know, who we are here in Ireland and how we formed and how many, so many decisions here are formed, that we do need to be involved with that.
I think Ireland should have a military, but not as a offence, more of as a defence. True, peacekeeping missions are necessary due to the UN and all. But think of it like this. Ireland, militaristically, is one of the most strategic points on Earth. It's the last country to go to the US. Ireland should be able to defend itself with the military, with all that. It needs it.
So welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're discussing Friday's presidential election and we're joined by three guests in studio from the ATU Law Society. I'm going to bring Aoife back in here. Aoife, you just exposed that you're in favour of Catherine Connolly as well.
I would be, yes. For multiple different reasons, party politics aside, I do believe that she is the better candidate, both with honesty, transparency and her beliefs. I believe Heather Humphreys is very political, economically orientated, which, yes, are great qualities in a TD. If that's what she wants, if that's where her expertise, if that's where she's been for the last 10 plus years. Mm-hmm. Whereas Catherine Connolly, in my opinion, has come with a completely different approach. She's come with honesty, inclusivity, you know, a voice for everybody, not just... the political parties or what the political gains will be from it, but from every citizen of Ireland. And I believe that she represents everyone, that she could do something for everyone. Her campaign has been going since the middle of July. I just believe it's been up until the last few weeks. Obviously, we're coming to the final hurdles. It's been a pretty clear and clean campaign. I'm yet to see, for lack of a better word, her target a smear campaign. I know what's been going on with on Facebook over the last few weeks with the Fine Gael page and some of the RTE posts regarding her work as a barrister. And I think if he never did said anything else truthful in his life, the Minister for Justice, what he came out with and said a few days ago was that Catherine worked as a barrister. We're three law students here. Whether it takes us into politics, law, economics, we will be bound by the rules of our profession. And one of the professional rules for a barrister is you're bound by the cab rank rule. So you take cases as they come to you, no matter what the client is. If Heather Humphreys feels that because Catherine Connolly defended and prosecuted financial institutions, is that not to be said for some of the best criminal barristers and attorneys in the country that have defended and prosecuted some of the worst crimes ever committed within this state? It's the job. It doesn't define the person who is running for the presidential race at the minute is Catherine Connolly, not Catherine the barrister who had a job to do.
Sebastian, do you agree with that? I know Catherine Connolly herself came out and said that, you know, bringing that up was a new low in the campaign. Do you agree with that or you think it was a right move?
I think that, well, obviously, they, you know, as a lawyer, if you're good at something, you're going to get more clients for it. So if they're good at taking homes away from people are going to come, you know, more financial institutions are going to come to get that happen. The thing is, has it gone slightly too far? Possibly. However, with the campaign, you need honesty. You need to get things out there. If you have a public life, you know, as a politician, nothing's going to stay hidden.
And do you think that it will be easy for Heather Humphreys to put her politics aside. Obviously, it's a president to represent the entire nation.
I think that, like was said with the economics, it's necessary, especially here. Ireland is so dependent on the EU for, you know, business, because tax haven and all, and free trade with the rest of the EU. All the MCNs came here after Brexit. That's what was essentially fueling the Irish economy. So I think that trade deals are necessary, and I think that the economics are very important in a president.
And Jimmy, we have seen that, you know, Catherine Connolly's, you know, obviously well ahead in the polls. Among, you know, your peers, we have 2 out of 3 here anyway as it is. But is it the sense from the younger people, the students, that Catherine Connolly is the one?
Well, I've heard support from the smoking areas of clubs to the classrooms and schools.
Real ear to the ground.
Yeah. But you hear constantly, people are sick of this government's initiative. And I know Heather Humphrey, and I don't doubt her ability to take a separate view. But if you're in that mindset for 10 plus years, you're going to still be in that mindset for the 7 years you're in the RS. Heather Humphreys has demonstrated on multiple occasions that she just loves to leave information out. Like, let's go to the fox hunting, for example. She was asked about it first, and what was her first response? Well, it's not animal abuse. I have a wee dog. I love animals and stuff. What does that have to do with it? Now, yesterday she did say it was a rural pursuit, but Catherine Connolly said it's immoral, but it does need to be done in some case. You have to take an initiative to just do something. And I also want to go back to the Ireland needs the US. We do need the US. The US money bankrolls Ireland. But Catherine Connolly on multiple occasions has demonstrated within her role as stepping in as Ciarán Carla that she can put her stuff aside. When she was the barrister, she put her personal belief that the banks were doing wrong to the side and represented it to the best of her ability. Like when she goes into the RS, she'll represent to the best of her ability. In Ciarán Carla role, she met with many people and she demonstrated that she can entertain these people and not cause international disputes. Now, I don't know about Heather Humphrey. I'm not going to comment on how she would deal in those situations, but as Ciarán Carla, I saw a very strong representative for the Irish spirit.
And she had to be very impartial in that role as well, and you think she did that well?
I think she did.
And back to yourself, Sebastian. A listener has said that Heather appears to lack real interest in the job and is merely going through the motions. I sometimes myself, when I see her, think that, you know, she's in this position now. Sometimes she comes across maybe a bit desperate in terms of the things she's saying. Do you agree with that? Or
I think that both candidates want the role. They both voted in, they both applied or whatever. What I think is that she has the backing. She wants to unite Ireland. She wants to be a uniter of sorts. But does she have the motivation? I think so, yes.
I just want to bring up with her interest in the thing. Heather Humphrey yesterday was asked about her Council of State, and it seemed she had a very obtuse view of it. Like, she didn't really understand a lot of the like rules surrounding it. Now, I'm not saying she didn't, but like, that's just how it came across to me. While Catherine Connolly, when she was asked, was straight to the point, knew all the facts, was able to communicate it to the best ability. Also, Heather Humphrey is kind of wishy-washy when she comes across. She's trying to get everyone in. First, she says, oh yes, I want a 50-50 cabinet, which is good. 50-50 cabinet between gender balance, that's an amazing initiative. But then she goes on and says, oh, I want a council of young people. And then she goes and says, oh, I want a council of old people. At one point I was thinking, are you going to say you want a council of middle-aged people? Like, what's going on? You need to be strong. And Catherine Connolly says, I don't know who I'm going to put in. Heather Humphrey's just trying to do this collect-all thing. She did the same thing at the very start of the debate, where she said, she tried to get the spoiled vote to come and vote for her. She says, it's a shame that there's only 2 candidates standing up here and stuff. Where was that when Fine Gael were putting the party whip system into use? Now, I don't think the party whip system is a bad system. It has led to a lot of development and you vote in blocks. But You can't be in support of the party whip system and then complain that there's not enough candidates on the paper. That's another wishy-washy view.
And do any of you think that Jim Gavin should have, obviously he's pulled out of the campaign, but would any of you have been in favour of Jim Gavin, or you very much made your decision from the outset?
I know from my own perspective, the decision was made from the outset, from looking at not even just a name or party politics. I don't like when party politics are involved in such a big decision. Their people take their beliefs, do not take the fact that this one is registered with Sinn Féin, or this one's a Fianna Gael, or this one's Fianna Fáil. You know, take that out of the collective. The beliefs, well, I'm, as a Mayo person anyway, I don't think it would have gone down well if I voted for the Dublin GAA manager. However, I was voting for Catherine. I always was, because I agree with her morals and they're in line with my beliefs. But I will say this for Jim Gavin. Provide taking away the party that nominated him, he had the backbone to step down when he knew his time was up. He could have dragged it on and made this into a big whole hullabaloo. Instead, he had the common decency to know, look, I've done wrong. He held his hands up to his mistakes and he walked away with his head held high. Now, what he did to them tenants or what he didn't do, you know, that's a matter for another day. But at least he had the common decency and the respect for the Irish people to pull himself out. Now, again, this is another thing that has come up with the spoil the vote. If people vote for him on the ballot, because he's withdrawn, it's the Irish taxpayer that will pay for this. It'll go back to another election with the same candidates again. And the same with the spoil the vote. It will go back to the taxpayer and the same thing will just keep
happening.
Because
the possibility is that Jim Gavin could still be elected.
There is
if he wanted that role then, if he was. Some people need to think very hard.
I would even just come in and say that I'm not accusing Fianna Fáil of doing anything, but I felt that Jim Gavin was kind of scapegoated by them. There was probably a lot of, they probably knew within the party about this whole rent scandal. I feel like they didn't very much stick up for their candidate. And now, and this is a very good thing, even the Minister for Justice had to come out and say, well, I think Catherine Connolly in this barrister thing did nothing wrong. Does that, and that shows, and also on the justice point, I'm going to bring up, it seems Fianna Gael don't believe in rehabilitation. They don't believe in the justice system. They don't believe in the right. Everyone, even the financial services, deserve the right to represent themselves in court.
I do agree with Aoife that, you know, there was no calls straight away. You know, it happened very quickly when Jim Gavin stood down. So, you know, yeah, it kind of does show the kind of man he is as well. But, you know, he just maybe felt as well this wasn't for him, the campaign. And I suppose nobody knows what else would have been. You know, we've seen it in terms of Catherine Connolly and Heather Humphreys. What else would have been thrown at him as well?
We've all done wrong. And I think when you're in the public eye so much and you put yourself on such a high public platform, everybody on the island of Ireland has skeletons in their closet. People are going to go on fishing expeditions to see what can this make this person look bad or what can this person make bad. The thing is, we've all made mistakes. We've all made errors. He had the decency and the respect for the Irish people to own up to what he did, and he stepped away. Whereas currently, the last few weeks, Heather Humphreys, as I think, in my opinion anyway, she's realised that the canoe was capsized. Okay, let's make everybody else drown around us while we're at it. I think that's why she's putting out so much negative media towards Catherine Connolly.
But Sebastian, you wouldn't be of that view.
I think I do agree everyone has skeletons in their closet, just how it comes out. I think that, well, true, it's gone a bit too far with the smear campaign or whatever it's being called. I think it's been a bit too far. However, I think that the meaning behind it is very much valid. She did represent them. She was good at her job. That's why she kept getting business from those institutions. And yet she says, oh, they're the devil. They were paying her bills for a time. She really can't complain.
And has Heather Humphreys been your choice from the outset?
I would have liked to have seen where the other candidates would have gone, but given that they're the only two choices.
And was there any, you know, we had Maria Steen and we had Gavin, I can't remember his surname now. Yeah, that we're going, would any of them have appealed to you?
They, I would have liked to have seen it go on for a bit longer, get to know the candidates a bit better to make a decision.
I definitely think that it would have been lovely. I feel that that maybe has impacted the lack of momentum around this election. Aoife, do you think that there should have been more candidates?
I don't know, to be quite honest. I have to believe in the judicial system. Look at the preamble in relation to what Warwick Pearce read out. We are a democratic society. There is procedures in place to get these nominations, because if the procedures weren't there, everybody would run for the arse. And then it as much as it is at the moment only a ceremonial role, there is no large power in comparison to our neighbours in the US. I do believe there should be, like, the nomination procedures. I believe that they're
very stringent.
They serve their purpose. Yeah. And that's why I'm happy with the three candidates. Yes, maybe four or five would have been nice. But yet again, as Jamie has highlighted before, if you cannot get the minority of the government or local authorities to back you, how are you expected to get enough votes to pass the quota to be elected the president, the 10th president of the state?
It demonstrates, just in the clearest terms, how we're... Ireland, if there was that want for that candidate, they would have got on the ballot. Mm. Now, in saying that, some candidates who tried to get onto the ballot tried very late. They started doing their campaign at the very end of it, which I don't agree with. I think if you're wanting to go for the president, you need to start at the very start of the chance. You can't just build momentum in a couple of weeks. But I just think, clear as day, Catherine Connolly is at least honest. Honesty is what you want in a president. You don't want a president... Now, I know there was the whole controversy with this Irish Times journalist where they wanted a yes or no, and Catherine Connolly just said, I represent all. But she did say, she did open her mouth and say, I did. While Heather Humphrey does the old political trick of me no remember. She thinks that, because, like, let's go to the shade.
Her Sebastian here. Do you want to come back in any of this?
Well, do I think, like I've kept saying, I think it's gone a little too far, but I think that the argument's perfectly valid of what's been going on.
I did notice last night, and I don't know if any of the other listeners copped on to this a little bit, but I really struggled to watch the primetime debate last night because Heather Humphreys has stood up and said that she has 10 years experience, and she's 10 years in the Dáil of public speaking and working within government, yet she cannot... not even for 10 minutes. The first 10 minutes of the interview, I think she said the words that many times. Now, I have a 6-year-old at home that could have more fluent conversation than she did. And I was just like, how are you meant to stand on the world stage and represent this country when you cannot even speak to your own nation?
Well, I can imagine that tomorrow evening's debate will be quite entertaining. Remind us, Aoife, of... the details and who can come along.
So it's open to the whole public. You do not have to be a student. You don't have to be anybody. You can just walk into the doors at 5:30 in room 1101. There will be students from the ATU Debate Society and the ATU Law Society there to welcome you. You will hear in a lot deeper discussion regarding Sebastian's, Heather Humphreys, and Jamie's, Catherine Connolly, and other students will be debating as well. It will be open to audience questions then, and there will be awards at the end.
Great. Thank you all so much, Aoife, Jimmy and Sebastian, for calling in, and I suppose enjoy tomorrow evening as well. Thank you very much.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhenney's. Our Christmas shop has now opened for all your festive shopping needs. Explore our extensive range of decorations, bedding and more in our homeware department, in-store or shop online at McElhenney's.com today.
Today's weather, a mix of scattered showers and sunny spells today. Cloud with some outbreaks of rain will move up from the south towards nightfall. Highest temperatures of 9 to 13 degrees. Just to note that there is a crash on the Cullion Road in Letterkenny near the cement plant, and motorists are advised that delays are expected there. loads of comments coming in relation to the presidential election. A listener says, nothing will change my mind. Heather Humphreys is still the best candidate to represent me as a person from a mixed religion family living in Donegal. Neither of them are good enough, this is Catherine Connolly and Heather Humphreys, to represent Ireland. Connolly has too many hidden agendas, still hasn't explained fully why she was in Syria with Wallace and Claire Daly. Humphreys will do what the government tell her. There are a lot of Heather Humphreys supporters out there. They just don't shout as loudly as Catherine's supporters. You nearly feel scared to say that you support Heather, as people seem to attack and belittle her. You would be surprised how many silent supporters she has. Well, I suppose we'll see the outcome of that once the votes are counted on Friday. But that there is that element as well that people maybe don't want to support government parties and they're scared to, you know, make that view known. But obviously, their vote will be cast in secrecy and we'll see then what the outcome is. Regarding the presidential election, are you for real? Vote for who we are told for. What about the people's candidates that were denied? This presidential election is the most boring I've ever listened to and I've listened to quite a few. I wouldn't vote for either of them. Turned off the debate after 15 minutes last evening. Talk is cheap. Whoever is elected, they will not be able to do one thing about the very serious issues we have in this country. Nobody wants a united Ireland. This is why I would vote for Heather and not Catherine. In my opinion, the North is too valuable. We require the NHS and education system in the North. There are so many students who attend university in Northern Ireland as they obtain a powerful degree but can still travel home at the weekends. That's an interesting point of view on that.